Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Mean Gene Show here on iHeartRadio. Saturday, October 22nd. Hope you are having a wonderful weekend. I am at Virgin Hotels Las Vegas inside the, it's the VLive Studios, our brand new podcasting studios here inside the Virgin Hotels Las Vegas. The show is also brought to you by Virgin Hotels Las Vegas. And I tell you what, if you haven't been to this facility, you are completely missing out. We talk about it every week on the Mean Gene Show, and you really got to come down here. They say it's the newest resort off the block. Welcome to your new playground. And you know what? This is a fresh destination catered to the curious. If you crave an experience served straight up, filled with fanciful perks and good times, the time has come to cross it off your bucket list. Are you ready to get everything you didn't know you needed? Well, come on down to Virgin Hotels, Las Vegas. We also are brought to you by Captain. Captain, changing mobility for good, transportation elevated, travel confidently in clean premium vehicles driven by trained professionals. Captain, and you know when you come to Las Vegas, you want to ride in style, so give Captain a call. Okay, so I am joined by my great friend from ESPN 97.5 Houston. He's been hanging out with us for the entire weekend. Yeah, I know he's going to bill me for my services, you know, taking all of this time away. I know he wants to be out in Vegas, man. We got him locked down here in a little studio. Please welcome to the show, Patrick Creighton.
Mean Woo! Jay!
Hey, Patrick, man, it's day two. You having fun?
Does it sound like I'm having fun? Do I sound like I'm miserable? You know what? I'm so hard. Can you please send me somewhere boring?
Your voice has changed from yesterday. You sound like you've been in Vegas for more than 24 hours.
I've been here a little bit. We party a little bit last night.
Oh, man.
We got to see a pretty cool, like, private concert.
Yes, we did.
Us and about 80 people in the Shag Room, which was cool as hell.
Yes.
Destiny Malibu, who's an American Idol alum, very talented, absolutely gorgeous.
Oh, my goodness.
She put on a terrific show, very intimate, small setting that we got to hang out and check out, and it was a good time. And she autographed stuff for my daughter. I mean, it was cool.
Yes, man, great experience. And not to mention, folks, she's really big. Destiny Malibu, check her out on Twitter, on Facebook, you name it, she's out there. But you know you're big when you have your own traveling band and mega bus with your picture all over it.
You know how they say, like, somebody has it, whatever it is?
Yeah.
She got it in spades.
She's got it.
She got lots of it.
And then the concert last night was just, you know, fabulous, folks. Patrick, it was my first time ever being at a album release party. I've never been to one.
I haven't been to one, like, kind of since I was in college.
Okay.
And I will tell you that most of the ones that I went to were college radio type bands. Like, they were hard rock, heavy metal bands that were not mainstream, mm-hmm. that were never going to be mainstream. Mm-hmm. They were on smaller labels and things like that. Certainly not somebody who was on American Idol.
Yeah.
And, you know, that wasn't even, like, part of the deal. Like, when you arranged for me to come out here. It was just last night, yesterday we're sitting here doing the show.
Yeah.
And then out of nowhere, Christina's like, hey, that tour bus that's outside, they're doing an album release party. Do you want to go? Hell yeah.
I think Patrick got us into that, folks, because that was not on my itinerary for the weekend. Now, there's so much going on in this city. We're going to tell you about it. But that was a surprise, thanks to Patrick Creighton.
If there's a way for us to find trouble, I will get you there.
Yeah, you did, because that I did not see that one coming last night. Hey, but folks, you know what? In Las Vegas, there are a ton of things going on here. Besides what's happening out in sports, which we're going to kind of get into a lot of stuff. But just to let you know what's going on in Las Vegas. So we already told you about Destiny Malibu last night. She did her thing. And I think she's still hanging out here in the city this weekend. But there is a music festival with over 70-something bands. A lot of people come to town to see that. Unfortunately, me and Patrick just talked about it before we got on the podcast here, that due to the windy conditions here in Las Vegas today, winds gusting at about 55 miles an hour, they postponed it or canceled. No, they canceled it for today, Patrick.
I will say that I'm glad that I'm not flying out today. that I'm going to be, you know, hanging out after we handle these shows. I'll be watching the rest of the Astros and the Yankees. Then we'll got lots of college football on tonight. Had a big UFC card earlier today. This is a hell of a day for sports, brother. I mean, and then it leads into NFL Sunday. So yeah, this has been an awesome week. And then we got like our own personal concert, which didn't suck. So yeah, how much trouble do you think we can get into? What do you think we could find tonight, brother? What do you think we could find tonight?
Well, you know what? I'm going to be finding the Henry Reed Airport in a couple of hours. I'm going to leave this city all to you, Patrick. I'll be checking in on you, brother, because I know tomorrow you got a big, big day. As the reason why you're here, actually, is the Raiders will be taking on the Houston Texans tomorrow.
Listen, if you don't hear from me by noon tomorrow, call some hospitals and police stations.
Oh, no. Okay, I'm going to call Christina. Dude, you know what? I think she left an ankle bracelet here. We can put it on you so we can monitor your movements here in the city over the next, because you're here until Monday. So it's going to be interesting. But, hey, like Patrick said, folks, a lot of stuff going on in the city. The usual concerts, Lionel Richie, John Legend, Usher, you name it, all that stuff. That brings, you know, people to the city. But let's get to the sports world. Like Patrick said earlier, we were up in the skybox this morning inside Virgin Hotels Las Vegas watching the UFC fight up there. And, man, there was standing room only almost up there. And, Patrick, you were more familiar with the card than I was. I only like the main events in these things, but I didn't get a chance to see it because I had to come down here and set up. So what happened up there?
Well, the fights that you care about. Started with Sugar Sean O'Malley and okay. Pedion.
I heard that name before.
And that fight was a knockdown, drag out, old school Pier 6 brawl. Both guys landed big bombs. Jan's face was all bloodied up. Jan had a handful of takedowns and some ground and pound. That fight went back and forth, really, really close. Three-round fight, split decision win for Sugar Sean O'Malley, who is kind of putting himself in line for bantamweight title.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Then you had the return of TJ Dillashaw taking on the champ, Aljamain Sterling. And Dillashaw, apparently before the fight earlier in the week, suffered a shoulder injury. In the very first round, Aljamain Sterling took Dillashaw down, and Dillashaw landed awkwardly and dislocated his shoulder. He somehow survived the round getting absolutely pummeled by Aljamain Sterling. And then after the round, they popped his shoulder back in. The referee is like, "Are you sure you're good to go?" And he, you know, flexed and he, you know, showed he could move his arm.
Yeah.
I don't know how much pain it cost him to do that, because as soon as the round started, his arm dropped back down, and he was a one-arm fighter. He couldn't even lift his arm. He was only throwing the right hand. Left arm was totally useless. And, I mean, you could see there was one point where Aljamain Sterling's like, should we be fighting?
Yeah.
And then, you know, they're fighting. He hits him. He goes down, and you hear Aljamain's corner, "No mercy!"
Oh.
And Aljamain just started pounding on him, and that fight ended second round with a stoppage for the champ, Aljamain Sterling. Then the main event, Charles Oliveira, Islam Makhachev, and look, I know a lot of up in the skybox there, big Oliveira crowd.
Yes.
And as soon as they started cheering, I was like, I feel bad for them. They're not going to be happy. And this fight went pretty much exactly how I thought it was going to go. Second round submission for the new champion, Islam Makhachev, who gave the belt to Khabib after the fight.
Oh, wow.
Khabib is his trainer. Wow. And there were a lot of people, a lot of MMA guys, national guys saying, you know, if Oliveira wins this fight, he should call out Khabib.
Yeah.
Well, he ain't not calling out nobody because he got subbed. The arm triangle choke.
Ooh.
And it was an extremely impressive performance for Makhachev, who showed not only that he was the stronger fighter, but he was the faster fighter. And those are two things that are real tough to overcome inside the octagon. If your opponent's stronger than you and he's faster than you, you're in trouble.
You're in trouble.
And Charles Oliveira is one of the all-time best fighters in his weight class. Okay. That's how good Makhachev is. Wow. Like, he was dominant from the opening bell. He was dominant. I've never seen Oliveira get handled the way he got handled today.
Major upset in UFC fighting, and this fight took place overseas because it had a start time of 11 a.m., which was the undercard. And man, Patrick, you got to see some great stuff up there.
And you know what? It was a great card. A lot of big name matches. Mm-hmm. Great card. Mm-hmm. What a bad venue, man. That Skybox is badass.
Oh. Yeah, it is.
Oh, wow.
And for our listeners out there, of course, you know, some of you who – a lot of folks haven't been to this facility since it was the Hard Rock Cafe. That's why we keep talking about it a lot. And that's one reason why Virgin Hotels have the Mean Gene Show here, the Picks Are In Show, and the Sports King Show, because we are really, they're getting into sports. And man, and you just heard Patrick describe some of the events that they have going on up there. And I know next week they got another big UFC fight that's going to be happening on Saturday, October 29th. But man, this was great. A total capacity crowd up there. That venue up there is unbelievable, as is this hotel here on 4455 Paradise Road. So you're going to have to get down here and see for yourself. But hey, also happening today, college football, okay? College football is happening all over the place. I'll give you some scores and some updates on what I have here. I know the Tennessee Volunteers were making quick work of Tennessee Martin, the Skyhawks. Tennessee 7-0, looking good, folks, looking good. Beat Alabama. Man, when you beat Alabama, you are really looking good. And I don't know if Tennessee is going to lose a game, but they are up right now. I think this game is pretty much over, 65-24. I'm not sure. I think the over or the spread was 30-something.
Sounds close. 65-20, that sounds close.
Looks like they're going to cover that spread. But another score we have is the Tulane Green Wave, 6-1. Tulane, 6-1. When have we ever said that? They are beating the Memphis Tigers 28-0. That looks good. But the shocker, and I wish I had known that this game was in Oregon. The Oregon Ducks playing in their pink and black uniforms. Of course, this is October, which means this is National Breast Cancer Month, and they are really doing a good job of – they have black uniforms on, Patrick, with pink – the numbers are pink. And you know Oregon, they just have – they're owned by Phil Knight. So they
does
got,
anybody have more jersey combinations than Oregon?
No. And look, when you're owned by – well, you're not owned. I mean, he's an alum of Oregon, but this guy – the Oregon Ducks are always going to look good, and they have more uniforms, like Patrick said, than anybody. But anyway, but the score, Oregon Ducks 5-1 over the unbeaten UCLA Bruins 6-0, 24-13 right now, what I have as they get ready to go into the halftime. So this could be a wait a minute. And what makes this game really interesting, Patrick, is that
you got the coach.
You have
Chip Kelly. He's a coach at UCLA, and he, of course, was a former coach at Oregon during, you know, their football program's heyday, you know, and, you know, had them as a mm-hmm. top-five ranked team, had them going with CFP. Then he had a little failed stint in the NFL he probably don't want to talk about. And then now he's back at UCLA and hasn't had the same success overall, but this year, you know, look, you're 6-0, but... He needs to get things done against his old team.
Getting his ass handed to him today by his old team, and I'm sure the crowd. I didn't see the kickoff of this because I really wanted to know what the crowd response was. It probably came when they came out on the field. I'm sure they let him know, or they could have cheered him because he did bring a lot of success to the Oregon Ducks.
Chip's not a small guy. That's a lot of hands that have to be used to hand that ass off. So.
No, he's not a small guy. All right, then in other action. Okay, and we like this. This is in our neck of the woods, Patrick. The Oklahoma State Cowboys, 5-1. They're at home to the Texas Longhorns, 5-2. Steve Carson, Steve Sarkisian?
Steve Sarkisian.
Okay, I always screw that name up. I'm sorry, Steve, and Longhorns fans.
Stevie
but anyway,
Sark.
Well, they just scored. So Texas just scored. I was just about to give you a 24-17 score. It's 31-17, the Longhorns. Man, they are owning. Texas is owning the state of Oklahoma this year.
Boy, they are a different team with Quinn Ewers as the quarterback. You know, he and you really saw it the game against Alabama where, you know, that game was tied and Texas was moving the ball at will when he got injured at the end of the first quarter. And he comes back against Oklahoma. They beat the brakes off of Oklahoma. And now here they are. Nothing. Here they are, you know.
In Stillwater.
Putting some boots to Mike Gundy, who today is not a man, and he is not 40. He's still a man, but he's just not 40.
Mike Gundy has been there forever. That was, what, almost 15 years ago when he had that outburst during that presser?
I wonder if he's like the godson of T. Boone Pickens or something, you know? Because he's basically got a job for life. He's never getting
and
fired.
And no one ever talks about that because we know Nick Saban get these big-time contracts. He's been at Alabama forever. No one ever realizes how long Gundy has been with the Oklahoma State Cowboys.
He is the program. And how about this? You know, Okie State, which is the Kid Brother program.
Yeah, yeah.
They're a little better than Big Brother this
year. Are they 5-1? Well, they're going to be 5-2 after this game. I mean, it's not over, though. I mean, it's only in the second quarter. So this game is
31 points in the second quarter.
This game is not over.
Defense. defense.
I mean, look, I don't know what the over-under on this, but you're already looking at, 48 points in the first half. So this had to be over 65, I'm sure. And other action, well, you know what? That's enough right now. I think we got some later games starting a little bit later. Everyone wants to know how Alabama is going to continue to. What do you think the polls are going to do with Alabama? They got beat by Tennessee. Let's say they don't lose another game and they face Tennessee in the SEC championship game or something other. They beat Tennessee. Alabama's right back up there to the top, depending on what Georgia's doing.
Well, they gotta get back to that game. Right, they got to make it to that game against
they got
to
get there.
Tennessee.
Yeah,
so they get back to Tennessee, they get a chance to wipe the state clean because if you win the SEC title game, everything else goes out the window.
Everything
you won the
else.
SEC title game.
You're right.
If you win the SEC title game, you go into the CFP. That's just how it is.
Yeah.
They're not leaving the SEC champ out of the CFP. I don't care if there's 7 undefeated teams. They're not leaving the SEC champ out of the out of that CFP.
Well, Georgia, a team we don't talk about as much, man. Georgia is the defending national champions, folks. But, you know, all eyes are always on Nick Saban in Alabama. And, hey, Jackson State is playing a little bit later. I thought about, you know, every time I think about Nick Saban, I think about Deion Sanders, right? In the Affleck commercials, how they were able to amend their differences. When Nick Saban, you know, said, hey, the NIL is really screwing up college.
Yeah, when he basically said, that Jimbo Fisher at Texas A&M is buying everybody.
And he's
ruining college football.
Yeah. They somehow, I know, Nick Saban pulled his words back, apologized. And, you know, of course, A&M and Alabama played and they shook hands and all of that great
Did
stuff.
Did I just drop a nuclear bomb on your city? I'm so sorry. Next.
Yeah,
once you unleash the nuke, you can't way out of it.
And people do that. I see that trend. You will say what you say, and then, oh, guess what? Hey, let's quickly schedule that press conference so I can pull my words back. Damage already done. So college football happening, folks. We just hit the top 25 for you. Some of the games in the way in the top 25. But let's talk about some other action that's going to be happening today. And I'm talking, it's going to be starting here. Has it started already? MLB playoffs. Astros and Yankees ALCS game 3. Astros lead that series 2-0. And if you didn't listen to, well, actually, you know what? We did the show on KDWN, so you haven't heard the show yet because it hasn't aired yet. But yesterday, folks, we had Patrick Creighton here who's pulling double duty here. Not only does he cover the Houston Texans in Houston, but he also covers the Astros here. And he was able to bring the heat yesterday with the CEO of Virgin Hotels Las Vegas. You guys know Richard Boz Bosworth has been on my show a couple of times. Boz likes to talk sports. We love Boz. And Boz loves us, too. That's why he have us here. But, you know, they told me yesterday that the boss wanted to come on the show. And I said, no problem at all. But Boz was here to represent the Yankees. And it just made for a perfect back-and-forth setup to have Patrick, who's representing the Astros, and Boz representing the Yankees. And here, the Astros lead the series 2-0, playing today, by the way.
Going to the top of the second inning, no score. But I'd say what I really enjoyed that conversation with Boz. I will tell you, my experience has been when you talk to guys who are that far up the ladder, mm-hmm. per se, mm-hmm. they're more casual observers of things because generally they're so busy with all the things that they run.
Yeah.
You really don't have time to be, like, you know, knees deep into, you know, whatever we're doing with sports.
Right.
Boz is on it, man. He's on it. He's well-spoken. He was a lot of fun to talk with. And
you got to have me come back here again. So I got to talk some more, Boz. That was fun.
Oh, yeah. And you know that's going to happen. I tell you what now. The first time I interviewed Boz, we were talking just the hotel business. And, you know, and I didn't know a lot of questions to ask about his business, the hospitality business. But, man, when we cross over to sports, I found out the same thing you found out. This guy knows the sports.
You know what? He knows his knowledge of sports. I guess what I'm trying to say is the percentage of knowledge he has of sports related to being somebody who is a CEO for a hospitality franchise.
Hello.
Is about 700 times what my knowledge of hospitality is as somebody who handles sports.
Yeah, so he's able to just have any kind of conversation you want, man. And I know for a fact, so this series is going to be interesting because it's a 2-3-2 format. We talked about that yesterday. Boz feels, he actually feels that the Astros might win the series, but he's very hopeful that the Yankees will take two out of these three here in New York.
Well, this is a must-win game for the Yankees. They got Gerrit Cole on the mound. They're down two games to none. They absolutely have to win. The Yankees have struck out 30 times in 65 at-bats over the first two games. They are whiffing like monsters. By contrast, the Astros have only struck out 8 times in 59 at-bats.
Mm-hmm.
So these are games that have been, you know, relatively close score games, mm-hmm. you know, 4-2, 3-2.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't win if you never put the ball in play. And this has been the issue is the Yankees just, they strike out. They don't make contact. And, you know, when their history this season is when they go against, you know, higher end pitching,
mm-hmm.
they
mm-hmm.
really struggle to make contact and to score runs. And that's kind of where they are right now. As Aaron Boone was talking about, that fly ball by Judge would have been a home run if the wind didn't knock down, if the roof wasn't open. The roof was open for both teams, so just want you to know that.
Yeah.
Also, baseball determines whether or not the roof is open, not the Astros, because I'll tell you, the Astros would play with the roof closed every day.
Yeah, it would be to their advantage. Exactly. Well, you know what's interesting, though, is that it just seems like to me, Patrick, and, you know, I might be wrong about this, but it doesn't matter whether it's regular season baseball or postseason baseball, that the Astros have the Yankees' number. It's just like the kryptonite. They just – I don't know what it is. They always hope that they never have that matchup with the Astros.
The Astros have been taken into the Yankees since 2015.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was kind of funny because – yeah, the Yankees, who have been proven to have been illicitly stealing signs all the way back to 2015,
mm-hmm.
act like they've never done anything wrong in their lives. Their fans act like they've never done anything wrong in their lives. The media acts like, oh, the Yankees, they're the White Knights. They've never done anything wrong. And they chant bleep Altuve, and bleep rhymes with truck, and they're not playing the Astros. They were playing the Guardians. They'll play it. It doesn't matter who it is.
Yeah.
They just chant that every night.
Yeah.
Because it's like he's in their heads.
Yeah, he is.
Altuve's over 24 right now to start the postseason. Worst start to a postseason in MLB history.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Yankees just had a very near collision involving Harrison Bader and Aaron Judge that resulted in a, oops, I dropped it. So, Astros with a two-out base runner on top of the second.
You know what? I don't know. Altuve, we talked about him on the Mean Gene Show yesterday with Boz and Patrick here. He's going to come out of this slump, and when he does, whether it's going to be any one of these three games here, this guy will come out. He's probably going to come up big. He's probably going to come up big and hit one of those, I can see it, tie games going into the bottom of the ninth where, who knows, I don't think this thing is going seven games, but I just think he's going to come up big, just like his teammate, Yordan Alvarez.
I feel like, look, I thought this would be a six-game series, mainly because I figured the Yankees would win two out of three at home. The Astros would win this series in six games. I would lean more towards a five-game series than a seven-game series.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I did think, I thought it would be a six-game series before the series started. The Yankees, look, they got to get out of this inning. They've been two outs when the error happened, so they should get out of the inning. Gerrit Cole's already got a pair of strikeouts. Actually, he's got three strikeouts already.
Okay, okay.
But they can't lose. You cannot lose this game. Your ace is on the mound. I thought it was a tactical error by the Yankees to not pitch Gerrit Cole in game two, because now he's pitching game three. There is no off day between games five and six. Usually there is an off day. Mm-hmm. Because the postseason has been pushed back, because of the lockout and the late start, mm-hmm. they eliminated that extra off day in the series. So now, instead of Gerrit Cole pitching game three and then potentially being on full rest game seven, he would be on short rest in game seven. Whereas if they had pitched him in game two, he'd have pitched short rest game two, but then would have been available either on 3 days rest for game five or mm-hmm. on full rest for game six. Mm-hmm. And the chances are in game five or game six, one of those games is likely to be an elimination game for the Yankees, and they will not have their best pitcher on the mound because they didn't pitch him early. And Chaz McCormick, two-run homer immediately following the error by Harrison Bader. It is 2-0 Astros in the top of the second.
And this is just nothing about this series has really given us any reason to believe that the Yankees are going to force a game seven out of this, because it's that even at home they're fumbling around on the mound and in the infield and to get an error. You can't make any mistakes against this team. But I want to say this too, and you know more about this because you cover this team and follow them more than I do. But there's no love lost between the Astros and Gerrit Cole.
It's true to an extent, and a lot of that has to do not with the fact that Gerrit Cole took all the money in the universe to go to the Yankees. It was more a matter of after the 2019 World Series, when for some inexplicable reason A.J. Hinch left Gerrit Cole in the bullpen. He brought in Will Harris, mm-hmm. and Harris gives up the home run.
Yeah.
Gerrit Cole then is answering questions in the locker room in the post game and giving the stupidest, most ridiculous answers, acting like he's got no idea, wearing a Boris hat. It was so stupid.
I remember.
And he looked like a horse's fanny giving this interview. And then, look, you want to take $320 million, I don't begrudge you. I will not begrudge anybody. If you can get that kind of money, you take it.
Exactly, exactly.
So Jose Altuve followed that up with a ground ball that was ruled out on the field. The Astros are challenging.
Ooh.
Altuve, it's a close play. Okay. This might actually, they're showing the replay, and it looks like it's very close. It's very, very close. Altuve may finally have his first hit.
That's what that amazing stuff, folks. You're getting this real-time information here on the Mean Gene Show here as we are broadcasting from our Virgin Live Studios inside the Virgin Hotels Las Vegas. This is our last day of this weekend here. As you know, we are here every other weekend here. We'll be back. Now, we're going to take a little break because we want to do something special for Veterans Day, which is coming up here in a couple of weeks. So we're going to take a little break, and then we're going to actually do back-to-back shows in November because of the Thanksgiving week. We're trying to stay away from that so everyone can spend time with their family. So our next trip to Las Vegas will be the weekend of Veterans Day and the following weekend. So that's what we're going to be doing. But you're getting some great stuff here as I am joined by Houston 97.5 ESPN Radio. Patrick Creighton here on this wonderful weekend. Now, let's switch it over to the National League because I don't want Padre fans and Philly fans to think that we've forgotten about them, okay?
Who?
The Padres and the Philly fans.
I don't know those people.
Yeah. NLCS Game 4 is also going to take place today. So the Phillies lead this series 2-1. And I think they're in Philly, right? They're still in Philly for two
more?
Yeah,
they're in Philly for the next two games.
Yeah, okay.
And here's the, you know, this is crazy because, you know, a couple of years ago, Bryce Harper, Manny Machado headlined a free agent class. Mm-hmm. Both of those guys wound up signing very, very late in the offseason.
Yeah.
And it was a big talk about, oh, are they going to be able to get the money? Are teams going to pay the money? It was a surprise that the San Diego Padres coughed up $300 million for Manny Machado. That up to that point, the Padres were considered a small market team. Mm-hmm. They were never a team that spent a lot of money on payroll. Right now, they're a top five payroll.
Oh, yes, they
are. But Manny Machado, that was kind of the first strike for them to really start being big spenders, trying to compete with the Dodgers. And those two guys, it was once upon a time thought one of them was going to be a Yankee.
Yeah.
The Yankees passed on both. Now, both guys are at the NLCS.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're both playing very well. The Phillies have gotten tremendous starting pitching. Josh Hader, who I don't know what the issue was during the season, but he had just a really off season for the Brewers to the point where the Brewers traded him. Mm-hmm. This is a guy who for the previous like 4 years was unhittable.
Unhittable.
And they trade him to the Padres. He has an awful finish to the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
Postseason comes on, light bulb goes off, he's unhittable again.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if the Padres can just get to the eighth inning with a lead, Josh Hader, right now, he's untouchable.
Yeah.
And the problem is the Padres are having trouble getting to the eighth inning with a lead.
Yeah, that's true. And it, you know what, though? I tell you what, I still like this. When the Padres picked up Juan Soto, and I think me and you talked about, I don't know if it was on air or off the air, about the fact that they put so much emphasis in beating the Dodgers that – you know, they may have felt like, okay, we have overachieved here by beating the Dodgers.
So we were talking about this last night at dinner.
Yeah.
When we were sitting next to the lovely and talented Destiny Malibu.
Destiny Malibu.
We were talking about this at dinner because the whole they put so much into we got to beat the Dodgers, we got to beat the Dodgers.
Yeah, yeah.
And they didn't just get Juan Soto. They got Juan Soto. They got Josh Bell.
They got Josh Hader.
They got so many guys to up, and then they, of course, they took the big gut punch when Fernando Tatis Jr.
You can't use those particular supplements.
Well, I didn't know what they were. I just didn't know. I didn't know what they were. Yeah, but I still like the Padres, and I tell you what, I like them. I like them a lot. You know, as a Dodger fan, hey, I smelt trouble, you know, way back. And when Dodger fans, every one of us was just glowing over the fact that the Padres were just like bowing down to us, I said, okay, the Padres are spending money. When they spent that money, watch out for the postseason.
But what happened all season long? Even after the trades for Soto and Bell and Hader, the Dodgers just kept kicking them in the teeth.
They did.
Padres, no matter what, and the Padres lost games to the Dodgers. Blowing leads late, making just dumb fielding errors, starting pitching gets bombed. Every game there was something else that happened that it was, the Padres fans just had to be like, man, every time we play the Dodgers, we do something to sabotage ourselves.
Yeah.
And most people, you know what? The Dodgers are just their daddies, and it doesn't matter who they have. The Dodgers pitching is phenomenal. The Dodgers play, you know, pretty solid defense. The Dodgers score a ton of runs.
Yeah.
Dodgers have a solid bullpen. They're not going to score enough.
Mm-hmm.
And then the injury started to mount for the Dodgers. They couldn't overcome them.
Yeah. Yeah, they did. They did, actually. And as a matter of fact, I remember, well, we talked about this. I know for a fact, Dave Roberts, some of his just questionable, you know, starting pitchers and moves that he makes within the game. You know, I think Dodger fans are just, you know, a few, you know, there were some rumblings in Los Angeles of folks calling for his J-O-B.
It's tough to say, hey, this guy won 111 games, fire his ass.
I know.
But the truth of the matter is, regular season managing and postseason managing are very different. You manage in the regular season more to, you know, the bigger picture. There might be a game that you're willing to sacrifice if it means I'm going to get some guys rest that they need to get so that I can, you know, win 8 of my next 9, right? Mm-hmm. In the postseason, you don't have that. You have to have more feel. And we saw this a couple of years ago in the World Series with Tampa Bay and Kevin Cash pulling Snell out of a game after 5 innings that he was mowing guys down.
Yeah.
But the book says I got to take him out after he gets to the lineup twice.
Yeah.
The book is stupid.
Yeah.
And if you only manage by the book, well, you might be stupid. Mm-hmm. Dave Roberts has a tendency to only manage by the book. It's like he has no feel for his team, and that's really hard to comprehend. Yes. That a guy who, you think about Dave Roberts' career and the fact that, you know, he has the one of the most famous stolen bases of all time that turned an entire series around and broke the curse of the Bambino.
Yeah, yeah, yep.
That he doesn't have a feel for his team. Now, either he doesn't have one or he's not allowed to have one. And that is a possibility because that's kind of how the new wave front office works.
Management, yeah.
You're not a manager. You're a co-manager with the GM and the analytics department.
Yeah.
But if that's the case, they are doing their team a disservice because the constant buy the book, buy the book, buy the book is just landing them with a bunch of L's. And you know what? You're not going to get another 60-game season anytime soon.
No.
Get a fake championship.
And believe me, and that hurt. That hurt like hell. As a matter of fact, when both of my teams I follow in the city of L.A. Win championships based on an asterisk type season. But I want to go back to what you just said, though, about this management here, co-management type stuff. It seems like, the game is already decided. We know how the game is going to be played before the game is played, and no matter what happens during the game, remember, we talked about how the game is going to be played, and that's how Dave Roberts managed. But I tell you what, Patrick, I'm spoiled. I'm old school. I remember the Tommy Lasorda days. I remember Tommy Lasorda using 6 pitchers to get 3 outs in an inning. He did
can't do that anymore.
He just did it, man. I don't care. He's working out there tapping this way. Get me somebody out here. I just need a strike. And Tommy Lasorda managed that way.
Tommy was one of a kind. terrific manager, Hall of Fame manager.
Yes.
Big personality.
The late Tommy Lasorda.
You know, a guy who pitched in Major League Baseball. Didn't have a big, long career, but he pitched.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, was a terrific, well-known manager.
Absolutely.
He was a little different than a lot of the other managers at the time. He was more aggressive.
He sure was.
And he wasn't, like some of the managers back then were still, I'm going to let my pitcher just pitch until, it looks like he really just can't. It was start of that era, and then, you get into that late 80s, and that's kind of when Tony La Russa is redefining how bullpens get used Oakland.
That's
where
true.
They define the ninth inning guy, and Dennis Eckersley pretty much only pitches the ninth inning, and he's in this dominant season.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a time where the bullpen usage was changing in Major League Baseball. I remember the 80s Mets didn't really have a closer. They had co-closers, Jesse Orosco and Roger McDowell.
Yeah.
Those guys would sometimes go 4, 5, 6 outs. They would be interchangeable. Davey Johnson would choose his closer sometimes based on his starter. Mm-hmm. So if Doc Gooden started, Jesse Orosco, the lefty, would come in to close.
Yeah.
If Sid Fernandez, who was a left-hander, started, he'd go to Roger McDowell.
Yes.
So he would mix and match who he was going to close, sometimes based on how deep his starter went. Mm-hmm. So the way bullpens get used, and now there's so much specialization with the bullpen, that either you have a really good bullpen or you lose a lot of baseball games.
Yeah, yeah. As we see with, I'm glad you brought up the Mets too, man. You remember, and if you had a David Coney, you didn't need anybody. He would just go the whole distance.
Man, Coney, Coney in 88 was 20-3.
I know.
That guy, and they stole him. I think they got him for Ed Hearn. They stole him from the Kansas City Royals.
That guy was a great pitcher, man. I know we're going back, folks, here, because I know Patrick is a New Yorker, so I always have to. And hey, those Mets, whether it's Yankees, great, great baseball. But anyway, back to the Phillies, folks. So I tell you what, I think the Padres, I still got the Padres winning this series. I really do.
Right now, before the series started, I was leaning slightly Phillies because I thought they had a little bit of pitching advantage and the bats were super hot. And they were going to play three games in that bandbox in Philadelphia. Now they're up 2-1. And they've got 2 more games at home. I think it's going to be real difficult. San Diego's got to get this series back to Petco.
Well, they have to. And all you got to do is just tie it up, right? I mean,
they got to get one. Obviously, if they don't get one, the series is over.
Yeah. But you tie it up. I think it's a different series, though.
If they can get one,
that's all you need.
I think it'll be a 7-game series.
I agree.
And look, game 7, anything can happen. But
with 6-7 in San Diego.
That's what I mean. For them. They've got to at least get that one, and that one has to be today.
In Philly.
It can't be game 5 down 3-1. They've got to tie that series at 2 before they worry about, hey, how do we get this back?
It just puts them in a whole different position. So, folks, hey, you have to enjoy baseball today because I know, take a break from UFC. You started off this morning with UFC championship, and now if you're watching college football, you're enjoying that, and of course now you got Major League Baseball playoffs. I tell you what, there's no better way or time to spend watching sports than in the city of Las Vegas here. And I know when I get on a plane, head back to Houston, Patrick, I'm gonna be jealous a little bit knowing how much fun he's gonna be having. But yeah, we're gonna get that ankle bracelet on him because I need to know where he's gonna be in the city.
Gonna put a low jack on me
so I can figure out where he's at. But hey, we're gonna talk a little bit of NBA right before we close out the podcast because we're getting ready for the Sports King show here at Virgin Hotels Las Vegas. Gonna bring on Dustin Pfeiffer. You guys know Dustin, he covers the Carolina Panthers and the Charlotte Hornets for Valley Sports Southeast, and he's been dying to jump in here. He's looking forward to talking to Patrick about some of the picks this week, especially after what Patrick has said about the Carolina Panthers. So should be another interesting conversation between Dustin and Patrick in our next show. But hey, the NBA season is young. I know some folks don't really get into it until 20 games
Christmas.
Into it. Christmas, right? Because they advertise those games in July, right? The Christmas games for the NBA. But it's a young season, and there's just some notable things going on that I want to talk about. Like some of the teams that are winless, Los Angeles Lakers.
That just hurts my heart.
and the Lakers are not there by themselves, the Miami Heat and the 76ers. So these are teams that have like big threes, big, James Harden and Joel Embiid and Doc Rivers, who, look, 79 more games to go, but it's just not that they're 0-2. And if you've watched any of the NBA in this young season, it's how they're losing some of these games. But the Lakers are probably the biggest one because you have, 4 future Hall of Famers on this team, probably. You got LeBron. You have, I don't know if Patrick Beverly is going to be a Hall of Famer, but you got LeBron.
No, he's not going to get it. he might buy a ticket.
He might get in some other, but you got LeBron. You got Russell Westbrook.
Is there a pain in the neck Hall of Fame?
Yeah, he would get in that one. He would get in that one. I'll never forget how the game when Minnesota beat, who'd they beat somebody? He just got on top of the press box, the scores table, and just act like he won the championship.
Acting like he LeBron doing the whole,
unbelievable. But the Lakers, folks, are 0-2. Now, if you listen to any of my podcasts on the Mean Gene Show, you have heard me rant and rave about these Lakers, and I have almost did everything except curse them out with the words that I really want to use on this show. But the Lakers,
that's because Gene's a good Christian, man. He doesn't say those words.
Yeah, my father's a preacher.
On the other hand, I have no problem saying those words. I just don't say them on the radio.
Well, we don't have no delayed or bleep button. But, hey, the Lakers are 0-2, and they look just as bad as they did last year.
Did you see what happened to Westbrook yesterday? Says Westbrook's leaving the court. Some fan got right up to the edge of the railing there and started shouting obscenities.
at Westbrook. And you know Westbrook got the rabbit ears.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
so
yeah.
Oh, he yeah. stopped, turned around, and he's looking at this guy like, what'd you say? And security's there. And the fan said something very profane and crude to Westbrook. And look, I maintain the overwhelming majority of times, if you're a fan and you pay your money to go to the game, you can pretty much say whatever you want. Pretty much.
Yeah.
There are lines. Yes. There are lines of yes. just decency. You can go and you can boo, and you can boo the beasts off of somebody. Right. You can boo them all day long. Mm-hmm. When you start getting into excessive profanity and detailing sexual acts, mm-hmm. as far as I'm concerned, once you go that route, they should ban you from the stadium, take you outside, mm-hmm. beat the snot out of you,
right.
and leave you, like, drop you off on your front door, mm-hmm. like, a bloody mess. Because you're a every inappropriate word that we're not allowed to say, some of them start with an A and then rhyme with pole. That's you.
Yeah.
And you don't really belong at the stadium because you're obviously a horrible person.
That's true.
There's no reason to be going into that kind of profane vulgarity. You could just boo them.
Yeah.
You stink. You're a bum.
Yeah.
You don't need to get into all the other stuff.
It's horrible. It's really bad, Patrick. It's really bad. And I think LeBron James, I think it was at an Atlanta Hawks game where I think some fans had kind of got personal with him and said some of the same horrible things. They had courtside seats. And there's always those fans with those good seats, which sometimes the only people that can afford those are the season ticket holders. But and Westbrook, no matter how – I tell you what, he can do things on the court that make you just really want to just – I know what I say at home when I'm watching the TV. This guy gets to the rim more than anyone and cannot finish. And I'm sure that fan
and
probably had enough.
It didn't used to be like that. Russell Westbrook used to be one of the best finishers in the game.
I don't know what
now,
happened.
He doesn't elevate the same way. He doesn't throw it down anymore. He doesn't have that little kiss off the glass. Like, it's like Russell Westbrook got old.
I think we see that.
His confidence is gone. It's like he got old. He doesn't knock down the little mid-range jumper anymore.
Nope.
I mean, that was his thing. Russ either got to the window or, you know, he knocked down that little mid-range jump, that little 10, 12-footer.
Yeah.
Now, it's so hard for him to score. He doesn't hit free throws anymore.
No, he's never
hit threes. It's hard to watch a guy who was as talented as Westbrook just
fall off.
Got old overnight.
Yeah. Yeah, overnight, I tell you what. And hey, now, and let's not take away some of the things that he has accomplished, you know, breaking the Oscar Robertson record there and doing some of those things, but he's just not his role with the Lakers, he's not even no assists. I mean, even if he can't get to the rim, he's just not his role with the Lakers is just so unorthodox.
Well, that and you know, if you're a guy like Russell Westbrook, his dribble penetration, in order to kick out to find a shooter, well, Lakers don't have any shooters. Nobody can shoot.
Hey, man, I was just about to go there.
You could get them freaking GPS. They can't find the mark. They are terrible shooters.
Yeah.
They are a poorly constructed team. You have LeBron. You've got Brow, and then after that, the pieces don't fit.
The pieces don't fit. Now, I'm going to give them a little credit this year for bringing in a Lonnie Walker, bringing in having a healthy Kendrick Nunn, and also, I mean, Beverly is not your scorer.
But you know what? PBev actually fits the team because as the years have gone on, Beverly's become a good, three-point shooter.
He's
a good set three-point shooter. So you find him on a kick, and he's right there, and he's a catch and shoot.
Yeah.
He knocks it down about
40%. He really does.
Which, you know, when he first came into the league after, you know, playing in Russia, I mean, Patrick Beverley, he hustled his way to the NBA.
He did.
That dude was playing in Russia.
He did.
And he was a defensive stalwart who learned to shoot threes. And he doesn't play defense as strong as he once did, but he's still a good defender. But he's the kind of guy they need because he can knock down that open three. They don't have enough of him. And also, one thing we know about Patrick Beverley, he'll play 20 games, arm hurt,
Yeah.
He'll miss a month and a half.
He will.
He'll come back. He'll play 20 games. Oh, I'm hurt. And he'll miss another month and a half. Just, he breaks down.
And this is not the team. Laker fans have already heard I'm hurt too many damn times, especially with Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis, to see him go to the ground is just, I don't know. I don't know if he has, I don't know. I don't know what's going on with Anthony Davis.
Jim, let me pose something to you, right? Because this is this is a little bit of a winding road, but follow along with me.
Mm-hmm.
So last week, LeBron was basically making overtures. He wants to own an NBA team here in Las Vegas.
Right, right.
And as I'm thinking about things, and it meant because I saw that Magic Johnson today wants to buy a minority stake in the Raiders. I was like, oh, so Magic want to be in Vegas before LeBron.
Yeah.
But this is one of the things that I thought about. You think about how LeBron is very sensitive. He's another guy, the rabbit ears.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
LeBron
yeah.
never met a coach that he doesn't think he knows more than.
Yeah.
Never met a general manager he doesn't think he knows more than.
Ain't that the truth?
Never met an owner he doesn't think he knows more than.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to give a new franchise in the fastest growing, hottest sports market in the country here in Las Vegas, you're going to give a new franchise to somebody. I can't see any league giving it to someone who they can't trust as a team player with the other owners because, again, LeBron, it's about LeBron. Right. LeBron, LeBron's image, LeBron's brand. It's mm-hmm. not about the league.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
about LeBron. LeBron yeah. thinks he's smarter than everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You look at Michael. Michael is arguably the greatest player of all time, most dominant player of all time.
Right.
As an owner, Michael fits in with the boys. Michael doesn't rock the boat.
Yeah.
Michael
yeah.
doesn't make it about Michael.
Right, right.
Michael does not have a whole lot of FaceTime with the media.
No, he
He's
doesn't.
Not out giving all these interviews, saying wild things. Yeah. Saying, well, I have a high school education and Daryl Morey went to MIT, but he's stupid and I'm not. Like, yeah. we don't have any of that with Michael
yeah.
Jordan.
Yeah.
Michael understands how to play the game with the owners.
Yes.
LeBron does not understand how to play the game with anybody except himself.
Right.
I can't see that happening. Right now, you look at the Lakers, this is LeBron, who's been bullying Rob Pelinka, sign this guy, trade for that guy, mm-hmm. get this, the mm-hmm. hell with the draft picks,
yeah.
do this, do that. Yeah. If you don't do it, I'm going to bash you in the media mm-hmm. every single day.
Yeah.
And here we are, mm-hmm. the team that LeBron put together last yeah. year mm-hmm. with Russ mm-hmm. and Melo,
mm-hmm.
and they stunk.
They did.
And here they are again, and they've moved some pieces around, and Rob Pelinka has probably done the best that he could with very limited resources at this point.
Means no money.
They're still not very good.
Yeah.
You're and right. either LeBron and Brow are going to score 75 points a night, or they're going to lose.
Yeah.
This is what happens when the great player wants to be coach, GM, and owner.
And owner.
Mm-hmm. The things go south, right? Mm-hmm. He couldn't get along with any of the coaches in Cleveland, mm-hmm. first time mm-hmm. or second time. Mm-hmm. Can't get along with any of the coaches in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
Banged heads with Spoelstra, and Spoelstra's mm-hmm. proven to be a damn good coach.
A damn good coach.
And let's face it, the reason why he couldn't overthrow Spoelstra was because the one person in this league that LeBron had respect for was Pat Riley.
Mm-hmm.
And Pat Riley was the mm-hmm. boss. So when mm-hmm. Pat said, Eric's the coach, LeBron said, all right, Pat, Eric's okay. the coach. Mm-hmm. Everywhere else, there hasn't been a Pat Riley.
Shots. Yeah.
Right? Even Jeannie and Jim Buss. Mm-hmm. Nah, screw you. You guys don't know nothing.
Yeah.
He has tried to bully his way yes. through, and the Lakers are paying the price for it.
Absolutely.
I hope that bubble championship meant a lot for all the fans who didn't get to watch it.
I tell you what, and Patrick, you just nailed it, man. And I have shared those sentiments exactly because it's all about LeBron. Great respect for the guy individually, but man, he has basically ruined a storied franchise, and it's just disappointing to see this happening to the Los Angeles Lakers. So hey, we got our NBA in, we got our UFC. And we got our college football in, we got our Major League Baseball in. So guess what? It's time to end this podcast because we got to make room for NFL. We purposely left the NFL off on the Mean Gene Show. So, hey, we're going to end it. Patrick, as always, man, thanks for, you know, joining me. I look forward to continuing to collaborate with you, man, because you always bring the heat. And, of course, hey, You can catch Patrick, folks, on the 97.5 ESPN Houston. He has a show called Late Hits. And when are you on, Patrick?
So I'm on weeknights, 7 to 9 p.m., although right now we are covering the national call for Astros baseball. Mm-hmm. So I'm coming on after the Astros game. It's almost like we're doing like almost a post-game version of Late Hits.
Okay.
But normally, 7 to 9 p.m., during the week, Late Hits, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. You can get us on ESPN97.5.com, ESPN97.5 app, Twitch stream, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. You can follow me on Twitter at PCreighton1.
There you go, folks. All right. Hey, so we're going to wrap it up here. We'll see you back here in a couple of weeks on the Mean Gene Show from the Virgin Hotels, Las Vegas. Enjoy your Saturday.